Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. The city council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number three is approval of the minutes, October 15th and 29th from our retreat 2024.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Roll call. And look, I voted yes. The minutes are approved. Item number four is approval of the claims.
Move to approve the claims.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the claims. Any discussion? Roll call. And the claims are approved. Item number five is action on the request of Brittany Knudsen, representing the Wayne Girl Scouts, to waive the rental fee for the Freedom Park Shelter House on Saturday, November 9th, 2024, for a special event. And are you Brittany?
Yes.
Come talk at the podium. Tell us your name and your address.
I'm Brittany Knudsen. I live at 216 West 11th Street.
Hang on, we're switching.
Didn't mean to mess up your flow.
Oh. I am the troop leader for the Brownies, which are our second and third graders, and we're having a special event coming up this Saturday. And we are, like you said, requesting to waive the rental fee for the Freedom Park Shelter House.
Very nice.
Sounds
Do you
good.
Want to advertise your special event? Is it just for those Girl Scouts?
So it's for the Brownie group, and they're working on a journey, which is kind of a little lengthier work that we can do, and so that's why we're hoping to get the Freedom Park House so we can have room to spread out and work throughout the afternoon. They're working on getting to know their skills and talents and how they can contribute to the community, and we're going to end our day with doing some kind of community project. So
that's awesome. This building is just right for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll move to approve the action on the request of Brittany Knudsen to waive the rental fee for Freedom Park Shelter House. Is there still a deposit on that then?
Yes.
Yes. So.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. The request is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Number six is action on the request of Monica Dolzov-Bruning, representing the Farm Service Agency, to waive the rental fee for the Freedom Park Shelter House on Thursday, December 5th, from 12:30 to 2:30.
I'm actually standing in for Monica. I'm Stephanie Hayes.
All right.
I work for the Farm Service Agency, and we are a government-funded agency, so we don't have funding to be able to afford the rental. And we're hosting some local lenders, about probably 20 to 30 of them, and we would ask that you guys waive that fee so that we can host them here in Wayne rather than going to West Point, where we usually have been going annually.
Oh, let's change that.
Thought you might say that.
I'll move to approve the action on the request of Monica, help me out here, Dolzov-Bruning?
Yep.
Representing Farm Service Agency, you're representing them now today. To waive the rental fee for Freedom Park.
Second.
Motion and a bunch of seconds. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Request is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number seven is action on the request of BJ Whaler to waive the requirement for a certified engineer statement per section 150.03 of the Moving Buildings Permit Required 3. Wes, you want to set this up?
Yeah, BJ is sick tonight, so he couldn't be here, and I didn't know if he was going to be on Zoom or not. Yeah, and Joel will have to help me on the requirements for the moving permit. This is Dr. Karski's garage. Is that
oh, yeah.
what we're talking about? This is a small little garage that we had down at the baseball softball complex that we had our own garage. The Baseball Association has a garage, and the Softball Association has a garage. With Prairie Park Developments, we put in a four-car garage that each of those associations will have now access to, a single-car garage, and then we have a double-car garage that Lowell will be using. And so we don't have a need for this little shed. It needs a roof. It needs some siding. Inside's actually decent. So we put it out, actually we put it on Facebook to see if anybody was interested, and we got a bid from BJ for $122.22. But with that, anything over 50 square feet requires a moving permit. And so this thing is 100 square feet, I believe. Isn't it 10 by 10? Oh. Yeah. And so what does that include? That includes an engineer signing off that it won't be hurting the streets. It requires, obviously, like pathways and like where's it going and that type of thing. BJ plans to put it out on his acreage off of Greenland, north of Greenland. What am I missing, Joel? What else, other things?
Well, there's a fee for moving permit, and he either has to provide a bond or have the bonded contractor move it.
And they will be moving it, and they are bonded and insured, so.
And there's one fee if it's a house, and there's one fee if it's an accessory structure. This will follow the accessory structure.
$50?
I want to say 75 or 25, okay. I'd hate to say exact amount, but it's in the city code that's approved by the council. The only thing that's been waived in the past, or is says the code can be waived, is that engineering requirement, because whether it's a house or a garden shed doesn't matter. It still says you have to have an engineer evaluate the route and say the streets are sufficient to carry that weight. And that was modified to allow council to have the ability to waive that if they feel the structure's so small that that's not necessary. But staff cannot waive that requirement.
But the engineering fee is paid for normally by the mover.
Right, the mover would have to hire their own engineer to do that, correct.
And Joel, did this kind of come about when people were moving trailer houses and stuff and they were not in a condition to be moved without some sort of an inspection?
And this condition actually came back years before I was even up here. Because at that time, our moving permit process is very cumbersome, because at the time, council just was worried about people moving large, older homes, structures into town that then were infested with mice or cockroaches or whatever. And so they really said, you know, we get more value out of somebody building on an empty lot rather than moving an old structure in. So all of these requirements are in place to kind of deter somebody from actually moving a structure into our community.
And if this building was coming from outside, like, you know, you see the small little sheds around for sale, do you require a moving permit?
If it's used, yes. If it's brand new, then
if it's new, no. Okay. And this one actually has been moved once already. It moved from the activity center. Not to the dump, it came to the Summer Sports Complex for a useful, more useful life. So, and looking back, we said, what we probably should have done was the city should have moved it themselves and said, hey, we could have moved it anywhere in the city limits, and we could have done that ourselves. I don't know if Joel would have allowed us to do that ourselves or not, but we didn't do that, and so we may have gotten additional bids if we did that.
We've never waived the moving fee, though.
Not the fees, no.
But we have waived the engineering.
The engineering, we've waived quite a bit.
I think at the most, we should. I mean, I would be fine with the engineering, but not the other fee. Right.
Yep, same here.
Agreed.
Come to the motion.
And just real quick, because I think we've approved this in the time that I've been on here, but have we, Joel, do they usually not share with you, like, what route they're taking?
They would have to put that on the moving permit, yes.
Okay.
And they have to give us the date, time that they intend to do this thing.
And what route they're planning on taking. Okay.
Like, that's good. We don't want the thing falling apart. I mean, that's another piece of this. We need to be aware. So in case of a worst case scenario,
that's where they're part of the bond, so that if something does happen, there's something there to cover the cost, and the city have to go clean up the mess.
Structurally, it's not a bad little shed. It looks bad from the outside, but inside it's structurally sound, Dr. Karski.
Jason, please. I'll make a motion on the action of BJ Whaler, waiving the engineering fee only.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. The request is partially approved. Number eight is a public hearing to consider the Planning Commission's recommendation regarding the final plat for Vintage Hill 4th Edition. The area is more specifically described inside the council packet, and the applicant is Arrowhead Development Wayne LLC. I'm going to open the public hearing. And Joel, are you going to kick us off? Please.
Joel Hanson, zoning administrator. Planning Commission met last night to review the plat, and they approved it for 6 yeses and 1 abstention. And I guess this mirrors the preliminary plat you saw last month. I kind of dealt with a lot of the issues with topology, where's the water going to go, are the utilities serving all the lots, and so those questions were answered through the preliminary plat, and now this is before you for final approval. So the developer knows we can file this into courthouse and they can sell lots and start moving dirt.
And just in full disclosure, at the Planning Commission meeting last night, there was one concern that was brought up from Brett Geese, and he was the abstention vote. His concern was where the water would be draining if the drainage system was going to be big enough to keep it from flooding onto his property, and what happens if it does. And so there was a lot of discussion about that, and I know Breck's here tonight, and so that is something that has to go through the engineering reports. It really doesn't have anything to do with the final plat as to where the lots are located, but all of the ordinances have to be followed, inspections have to be done, it has to meet engineer approval. Joel can go out and inspect it, Casey can go out and inspect it, and I do know that the engineer is here tonight if somebody had any questions for him, but, and Breck is also here because he had some concerns with what it would do to his property. So
I would just add that the engineering requirements are for a 10-year storm event. If there is a mega flood, that's beyond the design limits of the system, but that's true for any of our stormwater system in town. It's only designed to a certain level.
So are we addressing the drainage concerns tonight, or is that at a separate?
There was a drainage study provided along with the preliminary plat that said that the water would fit within the culvert that's currently under the road.
And I did look into state statute as far as liability if something were to happen, if it were to damage his crops. And basically, the city would not be held liable, but if the water was draining onto his property and not into a naturally draining ditch or a natural flow or outside of whatever the engineering plans were, then there could be a potential suit between the landowner who was damaged and the landowner who did not drain their water properly. But that would not come before that would not be a city liability.
Is there any other non-drainage discussion items at the Planning Commission?
I was not at the meeting.
Yeah, no. Luke sat in for Joel, and I was his staff on the side. That was mainly the conversation. The only thing that has changed from the preliminary plat is a name change on a street from Vintage Hill to Thomas Drive, I believe. The east-west street.
Any questions for staff before we open up to the
This may be an Amy question, and I just saw that there's the Thomas Drive ties into another street before it's Claycomb that's existing, and that's named Vintage Hill Drive. So mm-hmm. I suppose council should really take action at some point to rename that stub street to match Thomas Drive.
They will have to do that. Yep, they'll have to name the street.
Is it Vintage Hill Drive or Vintage Hill Avenue?
Vintage Hill Drive.
Drive goes north and south, and then the Thomas goes east and west.
And is that current residence? Is that a Claycomb residence? Yeah, the front door is Claycomb. Yeah. So that shouldn't be a.
Yep, their driver's off, but their address is all Claycomb. And like Amy said, Breck's here, and the developer's also here with their engineers, so there's plenty of other people who have questions. So.
Back to the name change. I wasn't paying attention to that. Where, which?
So at the very top. Don't use that one. Go up to where the lots are actually. Yeah, right there.
So this one's being changed?
This is Vintage Hill Drive right here. And then, so this is 21st. And this, oh, sorry. That one's Thomas.
Okay.
Here, Jill, look at the map up here.
It's easier than.
And so the question was, like, Clayton's gonna be on what side of that map, just because that was one of the questions.
Right, this right now is Minute Hill Drive, and that's the part that we need to change name to match Thomas.
Yep.
That's right here.
Mr. Mayor, Administrator, City Council, good to see you again. Shane Box, 1660 Augusta Drive, Seward, Nebraska, soon to be Wayne somewhere. We're working to get back. Before you is the final plat. Again, we are very excited about the development of this property, and, you know, we want to be a good citizen as well, right? So I know Joe, our engineer, spent some time with Breck today. I think the problem on Breck's property is a lot bigger than us. The water that's coming on his property is coming from a lot of different areas and not just from our area. Will ours have an impact? I think it will. I don't think it's as significant as the overall water issue that he probably has on his property. So, but we want to be a good citizen and work with Breck to alleviate any questions or concerns that he may have. The Vintage Hill Drive rename, I think the original design was Vintage Hill was going to not break up. It was just going to be a continuous loop from one side to the other in the original design. As you know, we've broken that apart and pulled, made some straight streets versus loops. One of the reasons we wanted to do that is make consistent lots instead of a bunch of oddly shaped, pie-shaped lots. And so that's why you see more of the rectangle lots that you see on the property today. 27 lots are what we're proposing here. We think it's a good fit for the area. And we also, you know, at the council of some citizens of Wayne, wanted to see bigger lots. They didn't want, you know, I know in Seward, the lot I live on today is 82 by 120. And the builder that I was talking to here said that would be a travesty if you did that. And I think that happened in previous developments where people would have to buy two lots to build the type of home that they were looking to build. And so we're trying to alleviate that. The discussion's been had with the council that, you know, hey, we're not going to vacate easements and allow two lots per person to have and those types of things. And you know, we're respectful of that, but that's why the design is the way it is to make the lots big enough to build a type of home that people are looking for today. You know, the three-stall garage, nice ranch-style home, those types of things. So, again, we want to be a good citizen. We're not trying to jam as many houses into the development as we possibly can. And as I've shared in the past, we hope this works wildly successful because we want to keep going and help Wayne continue to grow in the way that the city and the city council wants it to grow. So that's our overall mission here. And we've gotten quite a bit of feedback and quite a bit of calls already of people that are interested in looking for space like this. So I think, you know, that bodes well for the development and bodes well for the city of Wayne. So I'd be open to any questions that you have for the development at this point. Okay, thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing?
Luke Virgil, Department of Economic Development. Just wanted to reiterate what I sent out a couple weeks ago for the council packet before the meeting. We strongly support this both from the department side, but also from the Wayne America Chamber Economic Development side separately. We think that the addition of housing lots is one of our critical needs for the community, and this addresses that directly. So we entertain and strongly support this development. We don't want to make any comments, though, on the water issue, though.
Okay. Seeing no one else, I will close the public hearing. We'll go to item number 9, which is resolution 2024-63, approving the final plat for Vintage Hill 4th Edition. This is what we just talked about at the public hearing.
I'll introduce resolution 2024-63. Is that the one we're on?
Yep.
Approving the final plat for Vintage Hill number 4, 4th Edition.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 10 is resolution 2024-64, approving the Vintage Hill 4th Edition subdivision agreement. Mr. Bach, I assume that you're back up.
Do I have to say my name again? Shane Bach, 1660 Augusta Drive, Seward, Nebraska. Wanted to just address the subdivision agreement. So worked with administration to try to put this in front of you the best way that we could. I apologize in that getting a little delayed in getting to you. So, you know, we understand that. In front of you, what we're asking for is some assistance to help put in some of the infrastructure cost. The goal of with the assistance is to help make the lots more affordable for people to buy. You know, I was just doing some research here earlier this week, and you know, looking at some other communities that were putting lots in, they're asking 87.5, you know, 70 and above for lots that are going in. Our goal is not to do that. Our goal is to get it down, you know, in that, you know, 50 range and up. And the reason is we want people to build homes and not sit on these lots, and the development takes forever. So in conversations and talking, you know, Wes has talked to you guys before, and I've been at meetings where he's mentioned it. You know, we've got to find a way to get some lots in this town, and to get young professionals to move back to town, and to get families to move back to town. We have to have a stock of either homes or lots to be able to build on. And right now, there's not a lot of either one of those. And so we want to try to help alleviate some of that. One of the ways this is successful for everybody is that the meters start running, right? So if the meters start running, the city can recover the cost. And, you know, there's also taxes that get acquired by the city and others through that process as well. So our job is to make these as affordable as possible so we can sell the lots and get people moved into the neighborhood and you know, get more tax revenue and more meters running to help alleviate this cost. Again, I would answer any questions that you have on the subdivision agreement.
Wes, anything to add?
No, just, you know, we've had this discussion before. This area is not a typical area. When I get approached by developers, the first thing they want to know is where can we go that's typical. That's literally the number one question they have, and Luke can back me up on that as well. We don't have a lot of lots to or open space to do that in. This is one of those areas that is not typical. I think Arrowhead was able to negotiate a very fair price with the landowner. Did not ask for TIF, can't, because it's, I don't think we would have been able to get it TIFable. And so kind of brainstorming with what else can we do to incentivize home building. The city already puts in electric for developers. That's just something they've always done. I'm not sure why that started that way, but it has been. It's not as expensive as water and sewer, and you get a payback a little, obviously, quicker with electric. So then the thought was, well, we could do that with water and sewer. We could do the same types of things with that. If you're not foregoing taxes for the 15 years with TIF, what would it look like with utility revenue? So that's, you've seen my magic spreadsheets, right? That to show just like, if the build out is such that it's, you know, 2 to 3 homes a year, and you take 15 years to do that, and at year 15, all of them are, meters are spinning, what would that look like? And you're at about this amount of money, $425,000 or $430,000 or so. This request, I think, is for 460 total, but, so in 15 years, your utilities have made back that amount of money. Now, if the lots sit there empty for years, you don't. If they fill up faster than projections, or my projections of easy, because it's 2 or 3 a year, then you're going to, the payback's going to be a lot quicker. So.
And you may remember that Shane came before council a few months ago and kind of brought his ideas. There was nothing that was voted on at that time, but it was proposed at that time, the city contributing a percentage, and it was, I guess, my recommendation that there be a cap rather than doing a percentage, because you don't know how much then you're actually going to be on the hook for. And so that's why in those certain provisions, there's a cap on those. So the engineering fees was, I think, 50, and then there was 200 and something on one.
250 for sewer and 160 right. for water is what they're asking.
Right. So that's why there's that cap on there. There was a couple things that were added from the last time. One was that the city agrees not to vacate any easements to allow for the purchase of 2 lots and building across those lot lines. So that's what he was talking about on the previous one. So that's an obligation of the city. So no council after you can come and say, yeah, we're going to vacate these easements and allow, you know, one house to be built across 2 lot lines. And then the other thing that actually was just a question for you, are you going to file this of record at the courthouse? Because I do know there's that issue with the lots 1 and 2.
Right.
And so that would put the people on notice. So I would recommend that you do some sort of a notice that gets filed there.
Yep. And we can put that on file. Yep. Okay. 100%.
We filed a subdivision agreement with the plat.
You do file it at the courthouse with the plat? Okay.
And one of those lots, likely, you'll know the owner well.
Yeah, I
and then, so the other one, obviously your neighbor, will.
They've been vetted, and I think we're okay.
We're okay with it, yeah. That's what Casey thought.
Yep.
Wes, you said 460. Did you say 460? Isn't it 410? Or do you know the price for the electric underground and the streetlights?
50 engineering, 160 water, 250 sewer.
I didn't have the 50 engineering, thank you. But we don't know, we just have electric underground and streetlights. We don't have a price on those.
Those are going to be installed
by the city, like it always has been.
Yeah.
So let's say Arrowhead would be doing everything by themselves. We will still put in the electric like we do for any other subdivision. That wouldn't need to be a subdivision agreement to do that, because we do it anyway. That's just standard.
From last discussion to this one, when we last talked about this Vin and Chill, the estimate was around 380,000, and now we're at 460. Is that to reflect your recommendation of having a fixed price, or?
When we were here last, the one number that has increased on what they came from last time, there was still the 50, there was still the 10. It was the 160 for the water distribution mains and hydrants, and I can't remember what that number was last time.
So yeah, I haven't written down. So the part from the 380. Mm-hmm. That's when the ask last time, or that was initial conversation before Shane even came before you. Mm-hmm. That was like, yeah, a rough estimate to throw out there. Then in July, when Shane presented to you, that's where the thought was to build that escalator in, if you will, or that contingency. And when Amy said, let's just cap it. And so the numbers at that time was still the 250 for the sewer, it was the 50 for the engineering, but at that point it was 113,850 for the water. I assume they've reworked some numbers and have said water's going to be more expensive than that.
So what one big a change that we had was the inlet that was needed for the stormwater runoff, that originally we were thinking surface drain most the whole land. Mm-hmm. And then as we started talking and as Planning Commission talked, we were trying to alleviate some of that pressure to Breck's ground again. And so we put in an inlet and underground piping and some of that type of stuff. So there was a cost run there. I think our original plan too wasn't to put stub outs to each lot or as many lots. And so now we have stub outs to each lot for the water, which is, you know, that's going to add cost as well. So that's why you see that. The city also had a few requests to plan for future development. So, for example, we were going to dead-end a T on our sewer line, and now we want our, I think it's a water line. Our water line is going to be a dead-end. We've now put a cross in and another shut-off valve so that if the development to the east ever does go, we're prepared for that. I think there was another connection point, Joel, correct me if I'm wrong, to the water tower or something. Yep. There was another line they wanted us to run through there.
Yep.
To make sure we had a backup if in case one failed. So that was another thing that was included. So, and again, we're not trying to drive cost up. Our goal is to make the lots as affordable as possible. And this is after, you know, the tough part about development is the chicken and the egg, right? So we could go out and develop this thing and put it out there. But until our engineers get the detail that we need, we can't pin down the price. And we're a lot further pinned down today than we were before. So
the increase in city contribution is for potential future development to the east and also to assist with the drainage demand.
Yeah, that's a lot of what we put in there. So.
And then what do you figure your lots will run for?
Yeah, we don't have that pinned down exactly yet because we're still waiting on the bids for the paving. We're in the process of getting those right now. But our hope is to be around that, you know, the smaller lots are probably going to be in that $50,000 range, you know, and some of our bigger lots are going to be probably in the 60 range. But again, our hope is to keep them as affordable as we possibly can. You know, we have a couple lots that are almost a half acre in size, and then we've got some that are a third acre, and then some that are a little bit smaller than that. So, obviously, if it's a walkout basement, that price is different than a flat lot, and you know, there's some things like that. They won't be dramatically different, though. So,
thank you.
You bet.
Is the subdivision agreement that is in the packet online, is that the final one? Final draft?
Should be, yes.
Okay.
One item of capping a price. You know, initially we thought, well, you put in water and sewer. We had our city engineer run some numbers, and when Shane first gave me the numbers that he was looking at, I was like, I don't know how you're gonna do this. And I still am not sure how he's gonna do it, but he says he can. That's why I think it's very important for us not to say we'll pay for water and sewer. We're gonna pay for it, but we're gonna pay at a certain amount, and then anything over that, they'll be on the hook for, not us. So.
After like attending the last league meeting, you break out in your sessions and you talk to the other mayors, and it's always housing is, you know, one of the top ones. And it's every community is kind of coming up with their own unique system on how to subsidize the developers to come into their community because they all need workforce housing. They all need, and no one's building the $200,000 to $300,000 homes. So it's kind of like, okay, you either go after apartments and you boost it up, or you go after the very high-end homes because people do want to build those still. And most communities are taking it on themselves and paying much more than what is projected within this. So when this was come up and you look at the, you know, are we going to get 2 to 3 houses a year? I don't know. It's an unknown. It's a risk on the city's behalf, but it's probably more punches and bunches and then sit still for a while and then, but I think it's still a good gamble, and you look at what's the smartest way to get your money. I mean, 20-year payback for a city is pretty decent for infrastructure, and getting everything kind of done our way and sized up for improvement, I think that's a nice bonus. We've all seen what happens when we leave developers to get kind of things done their way, and you cut a bunch of corners trying to put things in a little bit cheaper. I think this is a nice way to control that and also subsidize in a smart way that is responsible to the taxpayer, yet still attacks the workforce housing problem. So I think that staff put in a lot of time getting this, staff and Shane put it together. So I'm very pleased with it.
I am too. I think this agreement looks good. I'm happy with it. With that means that I'll introduce Resolution 2024-64, approving the Vintage Hill 4th Edition Subdivision Agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 11 is action on application and certificate of payment number 12 in the amount of $505,484 to Audi Construction Company LLC for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project. We have Bob online. Bob, are you able to? Yep, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
We got you. The floor is yours. What are we paying for?
Yep. The bulk of what is in this month's payment application is a lot of interior electrical, audiovisual equipment, as well as a lot of that new pavement that you should be seeing on the west side of the facility now. So they continue to work on minor details around the exterior, but a lot of focus in the last month has been along the interior, a lot of the infrastructure systems.
Keith, you want to add anything?
Well, you have people have questions.
We've got you on the next one too, it looks like, so. Bob or Keith, any comment on how the project is going overall while we've got you here?
The project.
You're going to have us in there by December what?
January 31st of 2025 is our deadline. So the project is going well, could be going better. Cabinetry should start showing up here this week. Doors and hardware are going to be installed and things like that. So that's moving forward. As Bob said, if you were to walk inside the building now and take a look up and just take a look at all the cabling that has been ran, we probably have, I'm going to venture a guess, somewhere over 10 miles of cabling that are inside that building now. So with all the stuff going on for computer and data and things like that. So that's where that's at. Acoustical ceiling is, grid is mostly in everywhere, upstairs, downstairs, taking place with that. Most of the lights have been installed now too in all the rooms. So things are moving ahead and progressing nicely. It could always be better, but it could be a lot worse too. So questions?
When you say could be better, what exactly are you talking?
Well, could be better because of some delays on getting some materials and so forth like that.
Sure.
We ran into an issue a while ago with our millwork. And so we were really hoping to have millwork or cabinetry inside starting probably clear back in August.
Gotcha.
August has come and gone, and now we're almost halfway through November already, and that's not here. So that's
okay.
That's what I'm saying about
understood.
That. So just some delays that are tough to foresee all the time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Don't go too far.
Motion to approve the application and certificate of payment number 12 in the amount of $505,484 to Audi Construction Company for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The payment application certification is approved. Item number 12 is action on application and certificate of payment number 2 in the amount of $208,539 to Audi Construction Company LLC for the Wayne Parks and Rec Maintenance Building Project. Bob, floor is yours again.
Okay, so this is at a completely different stage of development compared to the City Hall project, but we are coming out of the ground. A lot of what you have in this month's payment application is the earthwork that was added to Audi's contract, and then a whole bunch of concrete. They got foundations poured. They were framing the stem walls 2 weeks ago when we were on site. I imagine a lot of that is already poured and done. We'll probably speak to the current progress, but they were working on the radiant heating tube systems, and they have to get all that in, get their underground plumbing, things like that in the slab or below the slab before they can pour that floor slab. And that will be a little dependent upon progress, how far they can get before winter really hits.
Keith?
But it is coming along nicely. It does look, the footings and everything looks good.
as you heard Bob state, the underground footings and all that, and stem walls are all in. The last week or so, we've got all of the underground rough in for the building inside, hooking up the floor drains and getting that all tied in and discharged to the outside. We've got the oil separator tank in as well. Got the water hydrant in clear on the north end and so forth. So all of the plumbing side is installed. Currently, we're working on getting the below-grade electrical in. We had to run some conduits below grade from the south end all the way up to the north, and that took place today. I'm not sure we got everything backfilled in, but that's where that's at. So next stage is starting to bring gravel in, getting the floors leveled up, starting to put in insulation, and then starting to run the floor heat. It's a gamble. Trying to evaluate where is Mother Nature going to be here in the next 2 weeks. Because once we start going and we start putting the insulation down, we have to put down all the floor heat, and then we have to pour it. We can't just put down part of the insulation and part of the floor heat because of the way the system works and it's designed. It's handcuffing us a little bit. So I'm trying to project out when Mother Nature is going to get super nasty with us. Ideally, we want to have all the slabs poured and taken care of. Weather holds for us. Slabs hopefully will be poured within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Then we need about a week to 14 days for cure time, and then we'll start putting the building up. So projection for the building going up is around December 1st, December 7th, somewhere in there. So that's kind of that. I will listen to anybody that can guarantee me 100% what the weather is going to be like. I'll take you up on that, and we'll go with that. But that's the risk, that's the fun, that's the danger with what we do. So, questions?
Weather predictions?
Above average.
It's Nebraska, you don't like it, wait 10 minutes, it'll be different.
What happened to the yellow glasses?
I have to replace my glasses every year because of they get wore out. Safety glasses do not last like they should, and so I have a new look. I've had orange ones for a long time. I've been trying to figure out different ways to keep my I have dry eyes. Okay, that's a conundrum that you get when you get a little older and so forth. So these are set a little bit tighter, and they help keep the wind out so my eyes don't dry out quite as quick. So, but that's the reason. I'm not caught on them yet. They're curved, and I've been wearing glasses since second grade. And so once you have flat ones, now all of a sudden you're going curved. Things are still a little wonky. Well,
I won't get too attached to them if they're going to be gone in 11 months.
So they might be gone sooner than that. Thanks for asking, but maybe more information
with me. I'll make a motion to approve the application certificate of payment number 2 in the amount of $208,539 to Audi Construction Company for the Wayne Parks and Recreation Maintenance Building Project.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? That's roll call. Payment number 2 is approved. Thank you to Council President Broderson for getting the meeting started. But we are adjourned.
We could have just waited. Oh, hey, it's my birthday, and I brought cupcakes. Hey, guys, you want to put it in a little
thing? I ran over a piece of lumber, and it lodged into my undercarriage.
So what'd you have to do?
Well, crawl under
and break it off. It's like a 2x4.
Oh,
I was like, I was stopped and got gas, and I was like, oh, they were hanging from underneath my car. And I hit, but I'd driven over a piece of wood.